Welcome to Real Flix Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month they're in grab bags, so Ryan picked the movie Layer Cake, made in 2004, along with Westworld Season 1, Episode 1. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. So here's a description of Layer Cake, made in 2004. A successful cocaine dealer gets two tough assignments from his boss on the eve of his early planned retirement.
So?
Yep, and like any good story like this, obviously, is way more complicated than that. But actually, I kind of just like the little description. Like, oh, okay, this is my kind of movie or not my kind of movie, but doesn't give you too much. Well, as the name implies, this movie is complicated.
I think Ryan's excited.
I am excited. Nobody's seen this movie.
I have.
So I'm. I know you watch obscure bullshit. really, this is one of those that just went way under the radar. You know, 04. I mean, I'm really surprised I didn't get a hold of this, but it is, you know, a very, very British movie. And also not done by Guy Ritchie, which is usually the ones that make its way across the pond.
He was busy at the time.
So what do you give this movie, Ryan?
Oh, okay. So my initial rating is a good 4.5.
Whoa.
That was close.
James?
I go with a 4, not doing a 4.5.
Wow. I'm going to be the Russian judge.
2.5.
Oh!
Wow!
I was close. I guessed yours... by half a point, and I guess John's by half a point.
To be fair, I kind of added my half a point sort of as I was saying it.
Okay.
I didn't. Mine was a 2.5 from the beginning. One of the reasons I guess that I gave it a 2.5 is I thought that some of the cuts were a little much, how it would jump around, and it was a very fast-paced cut.
You mean like the diner scene and the one where Captain O'Brien kills the guys?
Yeah, they just jump around a few times, and I got where they were going, but I was kind
of
thinking...
But that's the style of British movies. If you watch many British movies, they do stuff like that, like the rabbit chase scene, remember?
Yeah, I just thought it was annoying in this particular movie.
You know what I'm referring to, Ryan Snatch?
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
In this movie, I think it was a little onerous. I didn't think it was required as much as it was. Hmm. And this actually has people I really like. I mean, it has Daniel Craig, has Calm Meany.
Dumbledore's replacement.
It does have a lot of really good
actors. Well, the original Albus Dumbledore died in the second movie, and the guy that played
Gandalf,
Tom, I think it was, replaced him as Dumbledore for the rest of the series.
Wait, who said he just played Gandalf?
Yes, I believe he played Gandalf as well.
In Lord of the Rings?
Yes. Yeah.
That was Ian McKellen?
Yes.
Yes.
What actually really surprised me in this movie was Bern Gorman. I haven't seen him in a lot of things. Matter of fact, because I think this is the only second or third movie. No, yeah, third movie I've really ever seen him in. That being the was it Casino Royale, Pacific Rim, and this. Hmm. So I was really happy to see him in a different type of role. Because so far, every role I've seen him in has been completely different from the other one.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of a great character actor's build of British actors. A lot of people that you've probably seen, you know, once or twice in things, aside from, you know, Daniel Craig and Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy.
And Calm Meany.
Yeah, because Calm
Meany. Calm Meany, I mean, everybody knows Calm Meany from one thing or another.
Because he's, yeah. By the way, Calm Meany is Irish.
Yes, and he also does a great job in Hell on Wheels as well, for audience members who haven't looked.
And Star Trek Deep Space Nine and The Next Generation.
Yep, very well-known actor.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things.
Yeah. I didn't give mine.
Go.
So mine is a 4.
Okay.
On this one. But, John, you said you just based your rating off the cuts, really?
No, that wasn't entirely. I just figured that would just give one thing off the top of my head.
Okay, well, what dropped the movie so far down for you?
I didn't really enjoy it that much, to be completely honest.
I mean, a movie where practically everybody dies? Come on!
Not to mention, it wasn't just, you know, like right on the surface, you know, action. There was a lot of interesting moving parts going on.
And I'm definitely...
It actually built... itself, you know, like it really laid this beautiful foundation. You know, I hate to make the goddamn layer cake analogy, but, you know, that's kind of what they did.
And I'm definitely bucking the trend on this. Honestly, I thought it was a little on the boring side. And I realize it's really weird to say in a movie that was so fast-paced.
I mean, are you talking about the love interest drove it down for you?
Yeah, there was
I
that.
I just don't think you could understand the accents.
Who was the... Now, who the one question I have is, who was the blonde girl?
The love interest.
Was that just the random hooker, or was that one guy's daughter?
No,
it was the one dude's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought.
The
skinny tweaker dude.
Yeah, Duke's cousin, I think, something, or nephew.
She was weird. I mean, she was just kind of like a fork in the road that didn't really go anywhere story-wise.
Sienna Miller, for people who don't know.
That part I actually thought was weird because she was in there. And I'm thinking she was just the only reason they put her in there was for the hotel room scene.
No, I mean they said
and the ending scene.
I was gonna say it came into play at the ending scene as well.
Yeah, because that were the only two reasons I was thinking why she was actually needed as a character.
That's the kind of thing that I almost appreciate about it is it really didn't. It just kind of told you what you really needed to know. It didn't feel like it had to go to like the. You know, play this weird backstory or get into her character at all. He saw her at the club. She kind of liked him. He was like, I kind of need this in my life right now.
Yeah.
And I do actually like the fact that there wasn't a whole lot of explanation for anything in this movie other than what was needed. That was one of the things I liked.
Yeah, I mean, as Ryan was saying, it's a succinct story that we've seen played out. But they did it a different way, and I appreciate the fact that they killed Daniel Craig's character at the end.
Or
alluded to his death.
Yeah, he's dead. I was going to start bitching about the ambiguous ending, but I really can't on this one.
I mean, that shot was fatal.
Center placement. He was collapsed. He wasn't going to live.
The other thing I thought was kind of weird was the backstory on the two bosses. I mean, they needed a reason why they were doing what they did, but it always kind of seemed a little like, okay, there's not a lot of supposition on anybody else but those two characters. Even Daniel Craig's character is very vague, story-wise.
Well, this is based off a book, though.
Right, and Daniel Craig's character is supposed to be vague. You know about him what you need to know about him.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the end where he says, and if you know my name, you're as smart as I am. You know, I mean, that's really what it was.
True. But I think everybody was really kind of a vague. It was almost on the verge of a lot of characters being caricatures. Like Duke was supposed to be. But his black companion to me was almost like the character of the badass guy who did, you know, who took one for the team, you know, type of thing.
I liked his character. He actually might have had the most depth out of any.
Yeah, I really appreciate his character, especially when they didn't went into the backstory. And
I did like the fact the way he beat the crap out of that dude and said, "Here, have some tea."
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole scene was pretty amazing. How about 10? I mean, and that's the thing is you're kind of like
Morty.
Picking these things up as they happen.
George Harris.
And, I mean, all obviously seen through the eyes of Daniel Craig's character, who has no name, by the way, which James alluded to.
No, it's true.
But, you know, you're all kind of watching it unfold as he is, and you're always kind of having the same look that he does. Like, the fuck is happening right now? Yeah.
Well,
and then the guy explains it later on, like, oh, this guy did this and this guy did that.
According to IMDb, his name is Quadruple X.
Yeah.
So he's one better than the...
Well, I mean, you got the holder in the script, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing I did actually appreciate was some of the guns. I have Wellrod pistol. That was the one that Daniel Craig was given.
Yeah. Is that a Chinese gun?
Yes, it is.
It was a 32 ACP.
Yeah. And it was a Chinese officer's weapon, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it looks like the silencer is actually combined into the weapon itself.
It is.
Yeah, it's definitely integrated. Well, that's what I was kind of wondering. Is it almost didn't look like an integrated suppressor. It looked like that was just the barrel of that gun.
It was. It
shouldn't have been suppressed.
Yeah.
The way it looks like, the way that it, just by looking in the picture, it looks like it was built in suppressed. I mean,
it's actually part of the gun design.
The only question I have is how easy is that to actually clean? Because you actually have to clean silencers
pain
after a while.
In the butt, I'm pretty sure.
That's what it looks like.
But, I mean, I appreciated the way that he killed Jimmy as well. I like that, you know, there was the hesitation and then he just did it.
I do love the ninja mask and, you know, kind of snuck up to everybody and up to him and went, Oh, the best part, actually, the part that I actually appreciated the most was having the character turn around as he shot him, and Daniel Craig's remorse, the PTSD moment when he realized what he did.
Yeah. And then that moment when he just throws the suit on, closes the mirror, goes back to work.
Yeah. That whole scene, I was like, I appreciate that. That was really well done. That added a little bit more depth to a character that I guess was intentionally vague and emotionless.
You know, I really got to say, for me, the movie is fun. And the reason why is because you got, as Ryan said, there's a lot of moving parts going on all over the place in this film.
Yeah.
And then you find out that Daniel Craig's character, Quad X, is actually a pretty smart fella. And that's why he said, have a plan and stick to it. And then he walked out. I like that.
Yeah. It really worked out for him.
I liked his approach to the game in general. Like, you can tell he wanted to stay right at the level he was at. And the story was pretty much about everybody else trying to be more than their station in life. You know, the small-time gangsters trying to be the big-time gangsters. And he's just like, why are you guys screwing up a good thing, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I,
like, it was a reflected villain, you know, almost. Who actually kind of wants to be James Bond?
And it was kind of funny too, because the one scene in the warehouse, the bigger boss, was saying, "Oh, you'll be here someday," and how Daniel Craig was thinking about it. I was like, you know, kind of would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that was kind of the purpose of the movie, is like, look, you might be one of the smarter people that's done this. You know, you're one of these people that actually can rise to the top and not get, you know, killed because you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I got to admit, there were a lot of fun scenes in this movie. I guess I'll revise my after rating to, I'll give it a solid 3. Because I also like the scene with Kevin, Calm Meany, if that's how you say his name.
Calm.
And when you lift up the fridge door and you saw Duke there.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, you're finally coming handy, Duke.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah. But you know, see, what's cool is this movie, it is a Guy Ritchie movie. You know, like, it really screams Guy Ritchie, but at the same time, like, this alternate style. So it's kind of cool to see a story, you know, like that from England, that actually kind of gives you, because like I said, I mean, it's all Guy Ritchie stuff that most people see.
Yeah.
You know, we've gotten so used to Snatch and Lock, Stock and, you know, Rock and Roll and all that stuff, that this sort of alternate take on the style, you know, of this movie, with those quick cuts and the fast paced moving and those twists that you actually kind of forget to look for.
And I,
you know, as a film goer, I'm trained to look for two or three twists, and this one gets you just past to where you're actually looking for them anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I will say that this movie definitely is under the radar, because I had never heard of this movie, and I thought I heard of most of the things Calm Meany was in, along with Daniel Craig. So this, to me, was one of those movies like, whoa.
Yeah, you missed it.
Which really surprised me.
I think everybody did. Somebody handed this shit to me on a DVD that was burned, that just said Layer Cake on it. Ah. Like, oh, you can watch that.
So what do you have a revised rating for this? Or are you going to stick with what you gave it?
I'm really sticking with the 4.5. I mean, it's almost perfect for what it is. You know, the soundtrack and the score kicked ass. You know, all of the characters were freaking brilliant, and just a fun ass story, you know.
I'm not moving off of 4. I think that 4 is suitable for this film. I mean, like Ryan said, it's a style that you get out of the British film. So as far as I'm concerned, it was exactly what I was expecting it to be. A pleasure to see, and Daniel Craig did another one. Angel something. I don't really remember the actual title. And that one wasn't as good as this one. But, you know, so this one's a 4.
So we're going to switch to our television show we picked this week, which was Season 1, Episode 1 of Westworld. And I guess, what would you call the description for Westworld?
You know, it's just an elitist group that gets to play around what are they calling them? Basically, robot.
Well, they're
things.
Hosts.
Yeah, hosts. Yeah, thank
it's
you.
A host. It's a theme park essentially.
Yeah, it's all,
you know, perfectly crafted theme park that people just get to wander around. And, and you got to assume it sort of takes place, you know, in the future at a certain point, although it doesn't get into it. There's some kind of amazing technology, you know, that it also hasn't gotten into, but just to me, just kind of puts you in this world like, oh shit, I want to go there. You know, like I would be there in a heartbeat if I could, you know?
Yeah, I, you know, I agree. I would actually have a lot of fun in the Wild West, and I like the fact that
as long as you could
do
get
whatever.
Shot, right? Like the way
the guy on the train kind of summed it up, didn't he? He was like, "Oh yeah, I came here once and I did the good guy thing. It was cool. I came back and played pure bad and was the best 2 weeks of my life."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And I gotta say, the cast for this television series was freaking spot on. You've got Anthony Hopkins, Ed Harris, Evan Rachel Woods, this Jeffrey Wright. There was nobody in this movie, this TV series, that was really out of place.
Yeah.
This was one of the few times, at least from the first episode, that seemed perfect casting.
Yeah, really well done on the casting. I would hate to see how much they're paying out to those stars. I mean, they're really well-known stars.
Oh, yeah. No, they're crazy.
I mean, Anthony Hopkins and Ed Harris alone, it's got to be breaking the bank on this one.
Well, but you also have to imagine that they probably look forward to getting to work on something like this, you know? Like, it's one of the few Westerns that actually looks incredibly expensive because it probably cost them a fortune.
Yeah, and for people who may not know much about Westworld, this is actually a remake TV show. I wouldn't say it's a reboot. I would say this is...
reimagining.
Thank you. Reimagined for it. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was in 1960s.
Mid 60s, something like that.
1973 with Yul Brynner and Richard Benjamin and James Brolin.
Yeah,
right.
And those were big names back then too.
Oh yeah.
But it's funny if you watch that movie now, it does seem kind of clunky. It's a really great premise, and it really gets you into that headspace of like, oh, I wonder if, you know, and all those kinds of things. But it leaves way too many unanswered questions that this feels like it is going to answer.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the more human nature type of questions and you know, the capability of the world, that again, was kind of clunky, and they didn't really address a lot of those things in the old movie. You know?
Yeah, and I would say this was the thing that I think lent itself more better to a television show versus a movie. Because a movie, you've got 3 hours, you know, at max to tell a story, and with a TV series, you can go into the intimate, minute detail.
Yeah.
And this is a world so rich. Even if you watch the one in 73, there's so little details that you're like, come on, tell me more, and then it switches.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, the movie was basically, you know, okay, a bunch of people come to this theme park, you know, with the robots, people are playing Western, robots start going crazy. Oh, okay, big surprise.
No, the thing I wanted to...
Troopers, though.
The other thing was the rest world took in a place in an actual world, and it was a different planet, I thought. I don't remember. It's been such a long time.
Yeah. I think you may be right with a different planet.
Because for some reason, I was thinking a different planet. And the way they made it feel, at least by what I saw, it looked like it was the Grand Canyon type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm interesting. And the two characters that I think have the most interesting was Ed Harris.
Well, yeah.
Because he was like the ultimate bad guy.
Not to mention, he seems to have the most nefarious... like ulterior motives that I cannot wait to see where they're going with it. So that's the thing is with sort of the base that they're taking from Westworld, the movie, they're going to be adding a lot of different layers to this, you know? And so that's kind of what remains to be seen is sort of what direction are they taking it? I was all excited about Lost with J.J. Abrams back in the day, and they just got bananas, you know? So it does kind of make me nervous, but I can't wait to keep watching every episode, you know?
I would say the other one was the second in command would be interesting. The two minor ones would be Jeffrey Wright and what was the other one? Anthony Hopkins.
You know, as far as I thought of this when I saw Anthony Hopkins in this episode.
Hello, Clarice.
And no, the owner of Jurassic Park.
See, yeah, that's what kinda, I was thinking. Right? I was kinda, yeah. That's what I was totally thinking, because he definitely, a little spoiler alert, was the fact that he was fine with the robots kind of going out of control, just like the Jurassic Park guy. I think you're spot on. I think he's the guy who's blind to his own ambitions.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's got something in his eyes that sort of goes a little bit beyond that sweet old man, though.
Yeah, there was some nefariousness to the character. Well,
there was some understanding that this world was a little bit more than sort of what meets the eye.
Yeah.
You know, people's, you know, inhibitions are completely gone, and he's really catering to that. Obviously, this guy actually created, you know, the center of the park, which they alluded to as being just the most depraved shit of all time.
Yeah.
Presumably, he's got a hand in that also. So.
So I will say the watching this this television series was watching how James plays video games.
Yeah,
was
exactly.
My first thought. I mean, there's.
Oh, you back talked me.
Yeah.
All right, you're dead.
Pretty
you looked
much.
At me cross. You're dead. So you're in dead. My way.
I mean,
you're
real dead. Life Red Dead Redemption.
Yep.
So I'm definitely going to have to go to the second episode when I have time.
Yeah, I understand that.
So I'm going to go straight to my movie pick, and we're doing something a little different. The movie we want to pick is coming out this week, but since just for our timing-wise, so we can see it, we're going to go my pick, and then next week, which is normally my pick, we're going to do our theater pick. And so I'm going to be picking a movie that, hell, I just want to watch personally. We're going to do Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Nice.
So I haven't watched it in a while, and I think, hey, it's about time I pop it in the DVD player and give it a watch.
Yeah,
it's about that time of year for me.
Yeah.
And so I gave this movie a 3 out of 5, which is a 0.5 higher than I did in the beginning. James gave it a 4. Ryan gave it a 4.5 out of 5. We're doing Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And as always... thank you for watching.
Goodbye.